station and also streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed. And I'm here with Jill Kahn, and Jill is a marriage and family therapist and practicing in Sandpoint. And every month we come together and share ideas and discuss topics on mental health, relationships, and fitness. And today, it's Valentine's Day.
Yes!
So we're talking everything about relationships, but the topics for sure are going to be 5 ways to express your love on Valentine's Day, and also 5 sad signs that you're being emotionally neglected by the person you love, even without realizing. And then also the impact of sleep on relationships. This is the relationship show.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured this would be the appropriate day to do it. But first,
yes.
I'm dying to hear how it is being a grandmother.
Oh my God. I have to tell you, it is amazing. And so we miss January because
yes.
we had the storm of the century. But Jesse, the due date, I have a grandson. His name is Jamie.
Oh.
And he was born on New Year's Eve. I know.
Wow.
So Jesse's due date was, I think, the 6th of January.
Wow.
And we knew he was going to need to be delivered C-section because he was in quite an interesting position. It looked like he was doing a cannonball. And she was really uncomfortable. And I remember it was probably, she went in maybe on the 29th to her midwives, and she delivered at Deaconess. And under really a lot of discomfort. She's small like I am. And so his feet are, she felt like her ribs were about ready to burst through. It was horrible, I guess. So she called on the way home, Mom, and she's crying, and because she thought she was going to be able to, negotiate an earlier delivery time. And they were like, no. And then, of course, it was going to be the holidays, so they're not going to, schedule a C-section for New Year's Eve. Well, that morning, we talked, and she's like, I just am so tired. I'm like, well, take a nap. Who cares? Take a nap. Okay. Well, about an hour and a half later, her husband called me, and I thought, oh, well, this is interesting. I mean, we talk, but I thought, well, this is weird. Well, he said, hey, we're going to go to the hospital because they want to see her. I think she's having contractions. So all the way home, we track each other on our phone. It can be another conversation, but the whole family, we know where everyone is all
yes.
the time. So I'm following their car to Spokane, and they get there, and her husband, Kyle, is texting me. Okay, we're in here now. Now they're checking her. Okay, they're going to come back in an hour and check her again. And the thing is, with the C-section, they don't want you to start going to labor.
Right.
Well, I'm asked Kyle, I'm asking, how far apart are these little pains that she's feeling? And they're 5 to 6 minutes. I'm like, oh, we're on our way. So we drove in, and there you go. He was delivered on New Year's Eve, and he is perfect and happy and already a month old.
Wow.
And he just, he was 7.5 pounds, and he's just so alert. So he's starting to smile a little bit. And every week I go down and spend time so the kids can go back to bed. And it's been amazing to see your child become a mom.
I bet.
And Jesse was always pretty intense in corporate world and kind of guarded and on a mission. And my mom and I, we were watching her, and she's just melting into this role of being and singing to him and I love you and holding him. And just, it's beautiful to watch. And it's just it's been life changing for all of us.
I bet.
Helen goes down each week, and we just really want everyone to play a part in his life.
Oh.
Yeah. We're lucky. We all live close by.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You are so lucky.
But it's, he's a little miracle.
No. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm envious.
Well, it's going to happen.
I hope so.
Yeah. How are you?
Good, good. It's been an interesting highs and lows. St. Lucia was fabulous.
That was nice.
Absolutely fabulous. We had such a good time and adventured and did all kinds of wonderful things. Made chocolate and
oh wow,
and went to the mud baths and the waterfalls, and I paddleboarded and
fun.
Fished and sailed and all kinds of things.
Saw the sunshine.
Oh, thank heaven.
It's killing me this year.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of people
yes.
suffering? Yeah.
It's, yes.
This has, I think, has been one of my most difficult winters.
I would say this is an especially difficult one, and because the skiing is so marginal.
Right.
So there's no kind of counterbalance.
Or outdoor, even if you're not on the hill, like we usually cross-country ski or snowshoe, our yard is mud.
Yes, it's mud season, and it started in January.
Yeah, it's gross.
So it's been difficult on the psyche, and then it was compounded. I've had some dental issues. Mm. One of my crowns came out. Oh. And then I had to have grafting done.
Oh, that's horrible.
And we had to put Caroline
down.
I'm
sorry. Yeah.
So that was super painful. Just an emotional.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A loss of a pet is huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I was really grateful. Fry Creek Clinic came to the house.
Nice.
And Ben got to be there. And so Alex and Ben and I were just with her on the floor, holding her and nurturing her. Mm-hmm. And it was a very kind of sweet passing, and I was grateful, and Cookie was able to be there to see what was going on. And so anyway, that's been kind of our ups and downs, and So.
All right.
Yes.
Well, let's talk partners.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to start Valentine's Day with 5 ways to express your love on this day. You're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed, and I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, and she practices in Sandpoint, and it's our Valentine's Day show, and we're going to be talking about love and relationships, and our first topic are ways to express your love on this special day.
Well, it's always interesting to me because I love rituals of connection.
Yes.
And this is an opportunity for a ritual of connection. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I really like to celebrate.
Yes.
And celebrate with my family as well as my husband. And people bristle a lot about it.
It is an interesting day because I remember always enjoying when a little kid, you know, you make the
Valentine's,
you take the time. I remember making them, and it was always an exciting
day. Yes.
But I do know there are a lot of people who are like, ugh, it's just
commercial
marketing.
Yeah. And so when couples come in, I ask them about Valentine's. They say, well, it's just too commercial. We don't. And I like to say to them, rethink that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a rote expectation of what you do. And I love this list. I give it to my couples of things that are non-commercial.
Yeah.
And I'll just read a few of them, and we'll go ahead and post it on the on the site.
Yeah.
But it's things like read each other love poems. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have a poker tournament. Have a snowball fight.
Yeah.
Go for a run. Have a board game night.
Mm-hmm.
Attend a chocolate making class. We did that.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yes. Dance together.
Right.
Get a couple's massage. Write your partner a love letter.
Nice.
Have a candlelit dinner at home. Take a dance class.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the sunset if it's out.
Right.
Set up some lights, twinkle lights. Yeah. Make each other Valentine's Day cards, So there are all sorts of things that you can do that are non-commercial, that are ways of connecting together.
Yes.
Historically, Alex and I have gone out to dinner for Valentine's Day. And last year we decided, well, let's drive down to Spokane this year.
Right.
And then spend the night. Mm-hmm. So we did, and that was really fun. And because we have so few restaurants in town this year, I said, well, let's do something else. Let's do something different. So we're going to Ainsworth Hot Springs.
Oh,
so we'll have dinner and do hot springs and spend the night and maybe ski in the morning, depending.
Yes.
But trying to be creative and do something a little bit different is something to look at. But one of the things that I think is very important, this is the first advice, is don't let it be a source of pressure.
Right.
It can feel like pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes partners don't share in the same sentimental feelings about this. I think women in general care about it more than a lot of men do. That's mm-hmm. not always true, gender specific. But mm-hmm. oftentimes women get upset feeling like if their husband doesn't meet their expectations, it reflects negatively on their relationship.
Yeah.
That creates pressure.
Sure.
So you might think something like, if he really cared about me, he would have celebrated today by, right?
It is kind of like a competition, you know, with social media too.
Yes.
Everyone posts the flowers that their partner has given them. And it's like, oh, you know, so I can see how there is a lot of pressure.
There can be pressure. And it's important to remember that how your partner acts on Valentine's Day is not a reflection of their feelings about us, mm-hmm. yeah? It's just one day.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, if your partner lights up about doing something romantic, it could be really a good thing to respond to that.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing is to be attuned to your partner and that there isn't a right way or a wrong way, but know enough about your partner to say, what would that make them happy?
Mm-hmm.
So if a romance is part of how your partner experiences love, then acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't really want to do that yourselves,
right.
yourself.
Right.
And honestly, at the end of the day, what matters most about the way your partner treats you and how you feel is really about the other 364 days of the year.
Right.
That's what matters.
For sure.
If he or she is affectionate, loving in the most ordinary, unspotlighted moments, then you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters.
Right.
So when Valentine's Day comes around, remember that. And that any time you have with someone can be an excuse for romance and an affection.
Mm-hmm.
It's an everyday deal. And it's small and large acts of kindness, passion, love. How can I let my partner know on a daily basis how much I value them? So again, pressure. It shouldn't fall on this one occasion to be perfect
mm-hmm.
or in some way represent your entire relationship.
Right.
And not everybody's in a partnership.
True.
If you're single, there's a whole nother kind of pressure.
Yeah, I really am, because I have a single daughter. I have friends that are single. And it's an awkward, weird day.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad they came up with the Galentine's, right? Where single women can spend time with their friends and,
sure.
and go out and do something and celebrate. But there's always the risk of being hard on yourself. Like, what's wrong
right.
with me that
right.
I don't have a partner? And those are just thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not accurate. It's not that there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships are not easy.
No.
And even people who are in relationships sometimes are not very happy.
Right.
So be kind to yourself and watch out for the critical inner voices that might start to rear their ugly head and make you feel bad about yourself. So if you have that risk of being hard on yourself, practice self-compassion. Maybe you do want to find love. I think some single people are really desperate for that. But maybe some people enjoy being single.
Right.
Yeah. In either case, remember that Valentine's Day does not define your worthiness as a person. Yeah?
Yes.
I like this second one.
Okay.
Focus on giving over getting.
Yes.
Yeah? People can often get lost in their own desires and wants. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this all the time from women who are irritated with their partners for not doing good gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow or other, that seems to be, they think, emblematic of whether or not their partner really cares about them or values them. And sometimes men miss the mark.
Sure.
If they give a practical gift instead of a romantic gift
right.
that does not go over
the carpet
well.
Cleaner?
Yes, yes. So it's really important to shift away from thinking about what am I going to get
mm-hmm.
to what can I give to my partner?
Right.
And interestingly, studies show that people get more pleasure from giving than receiving. So really,
it is kind of interesting because I think about Christmas.
Yes.
And how much we enjoy giving.
Yes.
And I'm wondering why it, for just this particular day, it seems to like switch.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Because especially for us as moms, right? It's so much more about gifting for everyone else.
Yeah.
I never really care what I get. It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
But
I do like a good chocolate.
That's good. I'll remember that, Jen. It is, I think, somehow tied in with this idea of if you love me, you show me. Because it's this more singular relationship. It's not gifting to a lot of people. It's, in general, it tends to be just your partner. So anyway, really thinking about what can I do that what can I give my partner? Mm-hmm. Savor that opportunity to make someone you love feel good.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a romantic partner. It can be anyone for that matter. Yeah?
For sure.
So the third one is give something that has unique meaning to the receiver. There are people who'd love to be showered with balloons, cards, flowers, singing telegrams. Mm-hmm. There are others who would be mortified with this attention. Some people do not want that.
Right.
So when you're thinking about what to do for your partner, make sure not to confuse your own desires with theirs. Yeah? Again, that's attunement, being attuned to who they are and what works for them. If an expensive piece of clothing is your idea of an ideal gift, ask yourself, would that mean the same to them?
Right.
Would a framed photo have more value? Or even gifting them with a special night alone with you. Mm-hmm. Try to enjoy the process. I like this. Enjoy the process of thinking about what will make the other person happy. Mm-hmm. What will make his or her face fill with warmth and excitement?
Right.
And again, it doesn't have to be a thing. It can be an experience.
Well, yeah. I mean, I enjoy making a really nice meal for
Jeff,
you know, because we get so caught up in the day-to-day, like, what are we having? A burritos again, you know? But to really plan out a menu.
Yes.
And, okay, what does he enjoy to drink? And what, you know, maybe we're going to watch a show. Like, what? Plan it out.
Yes.
Spend time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The important element is to do something that is sensitive to how the other person experiences love. Mm-hmm. So this is the love languages, right?
Right.
And knowing who your partner is and what matters to them. Is it quality time? Is it a gift?
Right.
Is it an act of service? Right? Is it words of affirmation?
Yeah, I mean, I know people who the husband will go and like wash the car and vacuum it out. And do all those things, you know, that to me is amazing. Like, please clean my car.
Yeah, yeah. When we give our partners something that's more about our liking than theirs, we're oftentimes disappointed when they're not overjoyed.
Yeah.
So it may trigger negative thoughts like, he never puts in as much effort as I do, or she never appreciates what I offer. These thoughts only serve the purpose of creating conflict and distance in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Being sensitive to our partner's interests and desires and attuning to what makes them feel loved is the key to being truly generous in our relationships.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this list.
Okay.
All right, thanks. You're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed. And I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, and she practices in Sandpoint. And it's our Valentine's Day show, and we've been talking about ways to express your love on Valentine's Day.
So the next one is break the routine.
All right.
So special holiday occasions, holidays, vacations, which are the things that people remember, tell us that we should be taking more time in our daily lives to enjoy each other. We need to really slow down, be in the moment, because routines are what we typically slip into.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long term, they can threaten the passion and excitement we feel toward our partner.
Yeah.
We know that in our intimate relationships as well as our emotional relationships, we tend to develop habits. And that makes it stale. So keeping romantic love alive means challenging your negative thoughts or that you stay in or pulling back from affection. I mean, what people tend to do is be critical of either yourself or your partner. And that getting out of those patterns and habits of looking for what's wrong instead of what's right. And instead say, what can we do that's fun and new? So break free from your routines. Try something new. So, for example, when we said instead of staying in Sandpoint, let's go someplace else.
Yeah.
Or we very rarely watch rom-coms. That's a good thing to do on Valentine's Day.
Sure, absolutely.
Pick one that you like. Or simulate a power outage. Shut off all your devices and light candles and just talk.
That?
Yeah. That's a good one. So be creative about breaking the routine.
Yeah.
And I like this one, which is something I have done historically. Don't make it just about your partner. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite memories is my dad would buy me a really special present for Valentine's Day.
Nice.
And it always meant so much
sure.
to me. But the good thing about Valentine's Day is we can share it with people who we appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Sending a friend flowers or leaving candy, sending them a card, whether it's to a friend or a coworker, that really lets people know that you value them. And it can be something as simple as smiling at more people in your day-to-day, right?
Yeah,
making
like
eye contact, calling them by their name,
right?
Saying thank you, especially when you're at a restaurant. When you address your wait person by their name, they really value it. Let them know that you appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
These are acts we should strive for every day. But Valentine's Day is an opportunity to thank the people who make our lives richer and to express our feelings of love and appreciation.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, they're your tips, people. Get with
Those
it. Get tips. With it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. And we're going to talk now about five sad signs that you're being emotionally neglected by the person you love without even realizing it.
Well,
so let's talk about this.
Yes. And I think Valentine's Day can be an opportunity where those feelings come up when you start to feel like I do feel
it probably
emotional.
Is a time where people really evaluate their relationships.
Yes. I think it is. Do I feel connected? And I had somebody in my office say the other day, I was encouraging her to do something for Valentine's Day. And she said, you know, I just don't even feel like it. Right.
Yeah.
So the emotional distance, I think, can be highlighted at Valentine's Day. And it is important to pay attention and acknowledge it, because if you just ignore it, it continues or gets worse. So these are the cues that you should pay attention to. The first one is you feel alone. A persistent sense of loneliness, even when surrounded by others, is a powerful signal of emotional neglect. Pay attention to this feeling of isolation. Not just by recognizing it, but also taking meaningful steps to address it. So genuine connection is something we're wired for.
Right.
It's who we are, what we need. And it's something that if we don't have in our daily lives, we get depressed.
Yeah.
We lose energy. And knowing, am I spending time with people, whether they're friends or a partner, who nourish me and make me feel loved and valued, or friends or partner who makes me feel less than.
Right.
Yeah. So if you feel alone, that's a sign. Secondly, your feelings are ignored. Emotional neglect often manifests through the consistent downplaying or outright dismissal of one's feelings. When your feelings and needs are constantly minimized and diminished, it's a significant sign of being emotionally neglected. And this happens in friendships as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Establishing an environment that respects and acknowledges emotions becomes the cornerstone for fostering healthier relationships. So yes, tune in. Do people care about my feelings?
Right.
Yeah.
Observe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's a common complaint is a lot of women feel as though men don't ask them about their feelings. Mm-hmm. And that is neglect, right?
Have you noticed this is kind of taking a turn? But I listened to this amazing podcast the other day, and it was a psychiatrist, maybe psychologist in New York, who's been studying the effects of, now we're through the COVID years.
Right.
And how a lot of us, there was a test that you could take, which of course flags, but a lot of people are feeling flat and feeling depressed, mm-hmm. because we were in such a heightened level, mm-hmm. of stress during those, yes. times, in relationships, in work,
yes.
and we never really had time to recover.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if with relationships, we're suffering because of that.
I think that's true. I think it was an unusual experience, mm-hmm. and it wasn't trauma in the sense that big T trauma,
right?
Right, like the World Trade Center.
No, yeah.
And because it was this low-lying hypervigilance, it took a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And some people flourished in that environment, mm-hmm. because they really loved having the time alone and with their close friends. But I think the transition back has been difficult.
Yeah.
So yes, there can be a flatness. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, the antidote has been, I am adventuring as much as I can.
Right.
Right.
And that was one of the suggestions. And really looking, taking a minute up to 15 building up to explore all your senses.
Yes.
And really kind of getting back to life.
Yes.
So if you had a glass of water, you know, does the water taste, what does it taste like? What does it look like?
Yes.
What is the glass like? And just to kind of stimulate things again.
So speaking of that, I've been doing CEU classes in continuing education. And on the same principle, he talks about if we're feeling flat or even dealing with trauma, one of the best things that we can do is movement.
Yes.
Whether it's theater or dance or Tai Chi or yoga. Yoga, he says, is great. And I think there's the benefit of dancing, but also doing movement with others.
Yes.
That we're sharing in that experience and being in the body, in the moment, with people we love. So, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, couples yoga is one of my favorite Valentine's tasks.
No, I bet it is. Yeah.
I love doing that. And dancing in the kitchen together.
Sure.
Yeah. Doing anything physically together, mm-hmm. which brings us into the present moment,
sure.
is important. Yeah. So the number third one is you're constantly misunderstood. Mm. Feeling persistently misunderstood can be emotionally draining and may point to the presence of neglect. If you often feel misunderstood, unheard, or disregarded, it may indicate emotional neglect. Mm-hmm. Emotional presence includes both the ability to express and articulate one's emotions, as well as becoming more emotionally attuned to the feelings of others. So that emotional presence is so important, mm-hmm. in relationship. And I find a lot of couples just sort of drift apart and become disconnected and distant. They're not talking about their feelings with one another.
Yeah. I see if someone's feeling like they're not communicating right and being misunderstood, there's a shutdown.
Yes,
over time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Shutdown is exactly what it is.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll finish this list. And then we'll find out how sleep is impacting our relationships. All right. You're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed. And I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, who practices in Sandpoint. And it's our Valentine's Day show, so we're talking about relationships and feelings, which is always what we love to talk about. So now we're kind of touching on the impact, like what it's like when you're being emotionally neglected by the person you love.
So here's the fourth indicator.
Okay.
You feel like you have to handle your feelings alone. So this really resonated with me as I was doing my trainings in trauma. And One of the big issues that we ask people is, who was there for you mm-hmm. emotionally when you were growing up? And it's surprising to me how many people say no one.
Wow.
And there's always a risk if you grow up in a family like that where nobody was there for you, mm-hmm. that you replicate that in your adult life.
Right.
And that's why you pick someone who is emotionally neglectful, because it's familiar, right?
You go.
I recognize that.
Sure.
And it feels unfamiliar
right.
to have somebody actually be there for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So the reality is that being expected to navigate the complexities of emotion in isolation is unrealistic, right? As children, we need parents to be there to support us and help us with our emotions. And the same is true in relationship.
Yeah.
And when that's not happening, when you're in distress or you've got things going on in your life, you need to trust that your partner's there for you.
Sure. I think that's one of the biggest things, is knowing that your partner has your back.
Yes.
You know, and I will say that I have had the opposite, where that hasn't been there. And it is a very lonely, difficult relationship.
It is lonely, mm-hmm. disconnected. You feel empty when
sure.
you're not getting what you need from
yeah.
your partner. So if that's the case and you're not getting your emotional needs met from your partner, the first thing you really have to do is cultivate a supportive network mm-hmm. where emotions can be shared openly without fear of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be with women friends.
Sure.
It might be with family members. You may not be ready to give up your relationship for a variety of reasons, but at minimum, you need to make sure that those needs are getting met mm-hmm. somewhere in your sphere.
For sure.
If you're expected to deal with your feelings, needs, and problems on your own, that doesn't create a safe emotional environment.
Right.
Recognizing that and seeking help and sharing the emotional load are not only acceptable but crucial steps marks a pivotal move toward liberating yourself from the pain of emotional neglect.
Mm-hmm.
So first step, recognize, reach out, get support, and you may have to get help in.
I really think the only way, I mean, in a relationship, if you're not getting that support and that being able to rely on your partner, it's almost like you must get help
yes.
from a therapist to bring you both together on an even playing field so you can safely express how you feel.
Yes.
Because there's likely been a pattern of being shut down or
yep.
dismissed, or, you know, there's all kinds of Gottman terms.
Yes.
But I think that, I mean, seeing a therapist to work through these issues with your relationship is critical and so important, even if it doesn't end up working.
And
because, like,
yes.
in my case, you know, it didn't work.
Yeah.
But boy, it sure helped me find a wonderful partner.
And being in couples therapy allows you to either take the leap where the person does grow. I've got a couple
yeah.
I'm working with, and it's been really fun watching
yeah.
them. They feel safe enough
yeah.
in my office to have the conversations they should have had, and then to start having them on their own, right?
Yeah, it's great.
So people can grow,
or
there are those relationships that they may not be able
right.
to, but at least you've discovered that and you're not second guessing yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You know that for sure.
Yeah.
And here's a big one. The last one that you know you're neglected emotionally is that you've stopped believing in yourself.
Mm.
A profound consequence of enduring emotional neglect is the erosion of one's sense of self-worth. Yeah? You stop believing in yourself. You stop regarding your needs and feelings. And you wonder, what's wrong with me?
Right.
Yeah? And you may be told you're too sensitive. That should be banned
yeah.
from
oh my gosh, for sure.
Any kind of conversation. There is no
bad.
Such thing as being
no.
too sensitive.
Oh.
Yeah? Being sensitive is a wonderful, beautiful, important thing.
Right.
And there are other people who are so uncomfortable with feelings that the only way that they can respond is to tell you that you've got the problem.
Yeah, it's too scary to go there.
Yeah. So rebuilding self-esteem necessitates a conscious effort to validate one's own worth and actively work towards self-empowerment. So it takes the identification and realizing I'm not the problem here. Our dynamic is the problem. Mm-hmm. And either in the context of couples work, working toward rebuilding your sense of self-esteem, or if you have to leave the relationship, mm-hmm. You did a beautiful job of rebuilding your sense of self.
But it just takes, it takes work.
It does.
And it takes support.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't it, just having friends and an amazing therapist, Jill Cohn. But just all that, it just, it can happen.
You know,
people just need to put the time in.
Yes.
And not be afraid.
Yes. And let people be there for you.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure. So Let's go. We're going to switch gears because we're running out of time. And so I thought maybe we could talk about the benefits of working out with a loved one because we've got about 3 minutes. So
oh, perfect.
Let's do this. I don't know. Have you and Alex, do you exercise together?
Yes. There are certain things that we love to do together.
Uh-huh.
And when we travel, we definitely hike together. Well, we hike together here as well.
Yeah.
But certainly going on walks, mm-hmm. bike rides. He'll sometimes kayak with me, sometimes paddleboard with me.
Good.
There, of course, skiing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's really great. And I think I have couples that come into the gym and at the same time, and it's funny. You know, I can watch if it becomes intense, if someone's trying to coach the partner too much, you know, bringing in some laughter and joke about it to try to gently correct the behavior.
Yes.
But there are some real benefits to working out with a loved one. And it does solidify your bond. You know, if you're carving out time in your days to make time to exercise together, you're sending a message to your partner that you're making them a priority.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you care about their health. Healthy lifestyle choices also create a shared future. You know, so we think about your exercise today for the effects down the road. So you're telling your partner, I believe in you and I believe in us living a healthy life together.
Yes.
So I really like that. And then there's more accountability.
Yes.
You know, so okay, yeah, Sundays are our walk day. Jeff and I go for our walk up the hill. We know that that's going to happen. And yeah, you better get off the couch because it's it's time to walk.
Yes.
You know, so that I liked a lot. It creates also a healthy competition. You know, a little healthy competition from time to time is good. There is a line and
yes.
a limit, but it's kind of fun to push. Like, hey, I'm gonna walk for 30 minutes today. How long are you gonna walk?
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. Keep it a little bit light. I think it helps with the communication. Also, working out together, you're doing something pleasant. You're learning how to talk. Communicating about your struggles. When you exercise, you kind of let go of a lot of stuff you're dealing with.
And you have to be in the moment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. You boost your endorphins. We've talked about this before. So even in these gray winter days, I think it's great if you have someone, even if it's not your partner, find someone to work out with because it endorphins that we release when you exercise increase our overall happiness. Another reason to do it. And then it supports your mental health, you know, so exercising, you bond with people, you share what you're going through, I guess, and there's also the hormone benefit to that. You can also turn your workout into a date.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. Doing things like that, I think, over the holidays. So today on Valentine's Day, work out before you go out for dinner.
Well, I love that. And the other thing that was part of the research is how important group exercise is for a sense of belonging.
Yes.
That one of the things that happened after COVID is that we stopped doing the things that gave us a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Because we stopped meeting in book groups. We stopped playing cards
Everything.
Together.
No one went to gyms.
No.
There was no social.
No. There was no group mm-hmm. activity. And what we desperately need is a sense of belonging yeah. and spending time with other people where we share and feel
yeah.
like we're part of something.
Yeah. It's so important. So
yes.
I encourage everyone to keep working out and work out with your loved ones and make new loved ones.
Yes, and spend time with people you love, whether they're your partner or your friend or your family, and celebrate them on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Well, Jill, happy Valentine's
you
Day.
You too, Jen.
All right. This has been Functional Health Radio.